at Backside Attack.
Patrick Sabin.
Flash, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get the nerdy DC. Well, all our nerdy shit usually ends up taking precedence sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Without any apologies. I apologize not for my nerd love or yours. But you saw The Flash.
Yes. In theaters.
In theaters.
I gave them my money.
In theaters. The Flash. In theaters now. Mm-hmm. July 2023. Yeah. And how'd you feel about it? I have not seen it, but you might as well just go ahead and spoil away.
I guess
this will be a spoilery episode.
Well, I'll say this. I was watching Nerdrotic and Critical Drinker. Just their reviews of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Totally understand why they don't like it. Yeah.
They did not like it.
No, they didn't like it.
Okay.
And so totally understand why people don't like it. Ezra Miller is
problematic.
Yeah, he's his younger self is really irritating. I know they had to make him really irritating when he was before he got his powers.
Right. But you mean like the kid version of him?
Yeah, his 18-year-old version or whatever is when he first moved out.
Okay.
CGI is awful.
So you don't buy the excuse from, what's his name? Machete? I don't even know how to say his name. Andy Muschietti?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, the CG's bad because, like, it's supposed to look kind of bad. Like, chromatic aberration and stuff. Like, he's got a lot of... It looks like you're using a very, like, bad APS-C camera.
It looks like the CGI from 2002.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, so it's that's not rough. That great. It is... the pacing of it is not too bad. Okay. Wonder Woman's in it, who I can't stand.
She's rough.
Yeah. But Michael Keaton's awesome in it. The explanation of how time interweaves and he's using spaghetti as a reference was really dumb.
But that is old school Quantum Leap string theory, right?
Literally string theory, like Linguini.
Yeah.
And so that was like, whatever. Supergirl was fine. One thing I liked about this movie is that, not liked, but I think like the one thing I'm glad it didn't do was push a narrative, which was great.
Do you mean
like how Disney would push a narrative in one of their movies?
You mean they overly like
there's no agenda. Woke, yeah, there's no wokeness there's or no agenda wokeness to it this like movie, it. Which is great.
That's good.
Yeah, and
I heard Supergirl was terrific. Like, I mean,
oh, she's great, but she was barely used.
Oh really?
No, yeah, she's like in the movie for like maybe, I think screen time maybe a total of like 15 minutes.
Well, that's pretty accurate to Flashpoint though.
Yeah, that's not that, yeah, I'd have a problem with that. I just wish I had seen more of her, but right. Like, but whether we're gonna see more of her or not in future movies, I don't know. But
so just to like, let's just reiterate,
I don't like being interrupted
at all. Not even a little bit.
Go ahead.
He'll just talk right over.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, but just so people have an idea, like the idea of Flashpoint in the comic was that Barry Allen is not happy that he couldn't save his mother. Like he didn't go back in time to save his mother, or he wasn't doing it. Yeah. If anybody knows, the whole idea is that she dies when he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Father's framed for the murder.
Yeah.
Turns out Reverse Flash might have done it. In some timelines, he did do it. Some timelines, he didn't do it. Barry goes back in time to save his mother, but he fractures the multiverse.
Yeah.
And he ends up creating a new timeline where there are no superheroes.
Yeah.
And in the comic, he looks for Batman and finds Thomas Wayne, Batman's father instead,
mm-hmm.
who has turned into Batman because his wife and son.
Exactly. Died. Yeah.
But the thing that you do now is you tell that story so much that you got to change it up. So in this version of The Flash, he goes back in time, does the same dealy, and then he finds Michael Keaton's 1989 Batman instead.
Yeah.
And instead of Superman, who he finds in the comic book, who is completely depowered and held in like an Argus facility, I think.
Yeah.
He's got no power. He's not been touched by the sun at all. So he's a scrawny little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Then he comes back and ends up being the ass-kicking Superman that
we
hope he's going to develop into
as
the show goes on.
Exactly. You can tell this movie was like, it's kind of a Frankenstein movie. Like there's just so many, it's just like, it looks convoluted a little bit.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just there's some parts where like the emotional parts where like he has to say goodbye to his mom and realizes that he can't, like, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it.
Oh, this is all spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. So like he just said, like, you know, he comes to the realization that he can't save her and he has to go back in time to like, it's a very like small little thing he has to do to alter everything mm-hmm. to go back in time. It's a small thing, but that scene is actually very, very well done.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. So
so instead of being MacGuffin-y,
yeah,
it's like a nice little scene.
Yeah. It's just, all it is, it's a can of tomatoes. He just has to put it back. And so he takes it out of her cart, and then that means like her dad has to, his dad has to go there and pick it up, and he's not there to defend her death because he has to go to the store and pick it up. And
I actually don't hate that.
Yeah, it's simple, and he talks to her because she doesn't recognize him because that happened when he was a kid, and he runs into her while he's an adult,
right?
And she doesn't recognize him, and he's like, and she looks at him and says like, "Are you okay?" and stuff like that, and he's like looking at her like she has no idea who he is, mm-hmm. and yeah, that's his last time to say goodbye to her. So that scene was really well done, but overall. I think if you wanted to see that movie, go see it in the theaters. I would, if someone said like, you want to check it out at home, I'd be like, I am not watching that.
Well, you're not going to watch it again.
Never.
I'll like watch you've, that again. You've seen it. You got what you need from it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like 80s references. Like when he goes back in time, mm-hmm. They're talking about Back to the Future and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, Eric Stoltz is great in that movie. I'm like, he's like, what are you talking about? Michael J. Fox is in. He's like, no, what are you talking about? And then there's the classic scene, which everyone is talking about, all the references from the old superheroes that could have been. Like they show Christopher Reeves, they show all the old school Superman, they show Nicolas Cage's Superman fighting a huge spider.
The giant spider?
Yeah. So there's a lot. I've never seen I don't know how much time it took to render all that bad CGI, but it was
kind of... Do you want to discuss, should we spoil the big one? Because I know what it is already. I've already kind of, I've read enough about it. Like I said, I talked to the neighbor about it. He's a huge comic book movie fan, so we already talked about the big spoiler at the end of the movie.
Well, being Batman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you feel about that? How did you feel about Bruce Wayne coming out of the car and Batfleck?
Well, I knew that going in.
Did you know that going in?
Yeah, I knew that going in. So.
Okay.
But,
Did it have a cool hit? Like, did it feel good?
No.
Ah, that's rough.
Not really.
I mean, I was hoping...
He's my least favorite Batman, so... And I don't like...
I think he's everybody's least favorite Batman.
No, I'm not even a huge fan of George Clooney anyway, so...
Well, here's my problem with the George Clooney Batman. The Batman was awful. Like, his Batman was horrible. Mm-hmm. I didn't completely hate what he tried to do with Bruce Wayne. It's just he Clooney'd up a little bit too much.
Oh, yeah, so, and that was studio interference. They want to sell toys instead of making a good movie. Yeah.
I mean, I could have had a much better director doing a much better Batman movie. I mean, I could imagine if Clooney were younger when Tim Burton did the first Batman's, mm-hmm. 89 and Returns. If he had done the first Batman movies and Clooney was held in the loving hands of Tim Burton,
mm-hmm.
molded by him.
Yeah.
Formed and shaped by him.
Formed and,
yeah. Instead of merely adopting the mantle. If he was born in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Clooney could have been a good Batman under the proper...
Guidance.
Director.
Yeah.
Yeah, the proper guidance, right? It's just Schumacher was just making a clown show.
Yeah, and he was forced to. He said
he was forced to. Yeah, he's apologized for those mm-hmm. movies.
Yeah.
Other, what did he say about Batman and Robin? He goes, like, if I fooled anybody with Batman Forever that came into this movie thinking you're gonna get something decent, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I made two bad movies.
Well, that's Joel Schumacher. He made a lot of great movies, but
he made a lot of really good movies, man. Yeah. He just happened to make two shitty Batman movies that everybody judged him by.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right?
But Flash is like, it is one of the endings of the DCEU.
That's my question. Does it feel like a closure of the book?
Well, there's still the Aquaman movie coming out. I think there's one more. There's what else is there?
That's rough, man. Now, it is tough because you've got them saying, hey, we're shutting the book on DC. Everything else is Elseworlds. Then we've got the Pattinson Batman movies, which are fine. I like those.
Well, no, okay. Well, the Pattinson, well, the, like, same.
The Snyderverse, you mean?
Yeah, the Snyderverse. So we have Aquaman coming out, and what else?
Well, we don't know if Blue Beetle is going to have Snydery ties to it. Oh,
okay, all right.
But I think the Blue Beetle is going to be able to exist in its own world.
Yeah, I'm wondering about Blue Beetle, though.
The kid who's going to play him, that's Zolo, whatever his name is.
Is he from Karate Kid? Karate Kid, right?
Yeah, he's great. Like, he's very good in the Karate Kid. I kind of feel like in an alternate universe.
Cobra Kai, I should say, yeah.
Cobra Kai, that's mm-hmm. right. In an alternate universe, I feel like he would have been a very good Spider-Man. Like, he could have played that kind of Peter Parker. He's mm-hmm. good. He's a fun, goofball kind of an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not... He doesn't feel like he's just like a silly boy. Like, he feels more like a thespian
mm-hmm.
that can do all that stuff. Like, he feels like a legitimate actor who can act fun. He can mm-hmm. act serious. He can do all these different roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got the chops to pull off Blue Beetle, who, like, the Jamie Reyes version of Blue Beetle is very like Ultimate Universe Spider-Man.
Yeah, because I know nothing about Blue Beetle.
Yeah,
but I don't understand George Lopez's thing where it says Batman is a fascist.
Oh, that's dumb. What?
That's so dumb.
Is that in the trailer?
That's in the trailer.
Oh, that's silly. I mean, Batman kind of is. I mean, when you think about, like, even in the Batman movies, mm-hmm. like when you look at like the Nolan Batman movies, that is a narrative he is almost trying to push, right?
Yeah, but the DC Extended Universe for the DC EU,
right?
Batman, how many times like, Batman saves the fucking world?
They shouldn't know. I mean, like, I would understand if you knew who Bruce Wayne was as an outsider looking in, and somebody's like, "Hey, this billionaire industrialist has turned into this crime-fighting machine." And all he does is attack, like, minorities. Mm. Or all he does is clean up neighborhoods of the homeless. Or all, but he doesn't do that. Like, that's not what he does. Mm-hmm. All you know is that Batman fights the Joker. Batman fights the Scarecrow. It's not like the Scarecrow is running around, like, you know, like, working for union rights. Mm-hmm. The Joker is out there trying to find, like, higher pay for teachers.
Yeah.
Like, the Batman is smashing those guys because they're trying to gas the city.
Yeah.
They're trying to put poison in the water supply. Like, that's what they're doing because they're crazy.
Yeah. But I'll say this, though. That's just in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's an extended, like, conversation about that. But, yeah, I don't know. There was
I don't know about that.
No, who knows?
That's weird. No. Well, yeah.
It might have been a throwaway statement. I don't know. But I was watching this, actually, before I came here, I was watching this video of, like, this comedian, Paul something. I can't remember his name. And he was having a conversation with Bill Burr. Mm-hmm. And Bill Burr's rang the Robert Pattinson.
Oh, Paul Verzey?
Yeah. And he's wearing the Batman t-shirt on it, on there. And he's like, they're arguing about like, that comedian is like, he goes, "Man, I fucking hate Batman. I hate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He goes, "Superman's the GOAT." And then Burr's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" He goes, you're just like the Cheesecake Factory, Nike, like just like the scene.
You're not wrong, man.
Yeah.
People who think Superman is the best. Look, Superman in the right hands is really well done.
Yeah.
Like when you look at like even as weird as like the Bendis stuff happened, when Bendis is on his game and mm-hmm. the newer stuff,
yeah,
really well done. John Byrne does a great Superman.
Yep.
Like all these guys did great Superman stories.
Yeah.
But when you just roll up and you're like, "Superman's the best, he's the strongest. Superman's the best, he's the strongest." It's like, that's all you've got.
Yeah. What did Homer say? Like,
you're right. He is a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. So like, what did he say? He said, Bruce, like, he goes, "What is this? Look at this. Look at his, like, who does he fight? Some fucking bald guy who looks like me."
Right?
Yeah. So I was like, he goes, look at Batman. He has to fight all these other people. Spider-Man has to fight all these other people. He goes, who's Superman's greatest threat? Another guy?
Yeah, another dude.
Yeah.
Just another random, like, billionaire industrialist.
Well, apparently, according to Red Sun, Lex Luthor is this far descendant relative of Superman.
Yeah, like, right, like, the timeline we're in right now mm-hmm. is the birthplace of Krypton.
Yeah.
Like we are in the, according to Red Sun, right? Superman lands.
Yeah. Because Earth, it turns out to become Krypton, right?
Right.
Yeah.
When the cycle repeats itself and comes all the way around,
mm-hmm.
Lex Luthor is Lex-El.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Kal-El is the predecessor
mm-hmm.
or the descendant of Lex Luthor, who is the original El.
Yeah.
So all the Kal-El is like, you know, eventually he's going to end up.
Yeah, go read Red Sun. If you haven't read Red Sun, read it.
Sun's pretty cool. Red Sun actually, like, it kind of accidentally, in my mind, becomes canon. Like, it's not just an Elseworlds story.
Yeah, exactly.
It just, like, there are little things that happen during Red Sun that could send us in one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
and then that becomes where Earth is Krypton. And then that's why he can't find Krypton. When he flies all the way to the debris field, well, it's not there because, it's Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Your fancy technology just...
Watch is low.
Told you your battery is low.
Yeah.
Technology.
Yeah. But now I'm listening to this thing now. Like, if it says get up and walk around, I get up and walk around.
That's always a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Movement mm-hmm. is good.
Movement is good.
Yeah. I don't mind there being more Elseworld stuff. Like I said before, that's mm-hmm. great. I like that they're doing the new stuff. And I like that they're closing the book on the Snyderverse. And I think anybody who defends the Snyderverse is kind of a jackass. There's a lot wrong with that. But at the same, it's not that. I think anybody who really like carries a torch for it as if it was the greatest thing ever just needs to watch that.
Well, they say they carry because they think it's the greatest thing ever because that's all it was.
That's all it really was.
Yeah.
It was three, like, you know, visually, I'll say straight up, they look amazing. All the Man of Steel visually looks great. I have no problem with it. City stuff in Krypton is a little bit dumb. Like, how big is Krypton?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how big in, or not Krypton, sorry, Metropolis. How big and gray is Metropolis where it's all just big and gray? The entire with a brown sky.
Yeah, that's another thing I had problems with it with the Flash is like they're doing all these things. They're like, okay, the world, the planet, like whatever that thing that Zod can bring about, the planet like transformation thing, whatever it's called,
that terraformer,
the terraformer,
the dubstep machine.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just there, and it's doing. Then all of a sudden, they have to go out and rescue Supergirl and do all these things. It takes days. I'm like, you guys are like far behind, like trying to save the Earth.
These are way back.
Yeah. So
that's something else people don't talk about. Like they make a big deal, and I don't know if I'm the only one who said it. I don't think I haven't heard anybody else talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they talk about how what's his name wanted Kevin Smith to put the spider in the Kal-El or the Kal-El, the Nicolas Cage Superman, who's the dude? Who's the director? Barbara Streisand's hairdresser. The guy who really pushed for it, the one he had the meeting with, who was like, hey man,
oh,
we're both from the streets, you gotta put that thing in there, the giant spider.
Oh, I can't remember.
And then yeah, so anyway, everybody talks about how he never got his giant spider in the movie. But he did though. In Man of Steel, the dubstep machine.
Mm-hmm.
He fights a giant spider. Like when he is it in Australia, right? He goes to like the Antarctic, yeah, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He's fighting the machine over there.
Mm-hmm.
The ship that Zod comes in on, it's the giant spider.
Mm-hmm.
It's got tentacles and arms and shit, and he's fighting it, and it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
So he did get his giant spider. I just don't understand why everybody's like, oh, you know, it's like he never got it, and here's the big thing. He's gonna finally get it. And Nicolas Cage is punching it or some shit like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think as soon as I saw Nicolas Cage as Superman, I'm like, I looked at the screen, I was like,
did he have long hair?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It was beautiful.
I imagine.
Yeah, everything. Imagine it was like, it was just, what's his character's name in
Cameron Poe?
Cameron. It was like Cameron Poe on steroids, man.
Well, he was on steroids.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage in.
I want to see him. I'm going to see
in Con Air was Jack.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to see the fucking day.
I'm going to see the fucking day.
Yeah. That, all that
I just want to get home, my baby.
That Cameron Poe with that sweat with a Superman outfit on, that's basically what this was.
If you had taken that getting off the bus when he's just jacked, mm-hmm. just put him in the Superman costume and with that hair.
Yeah, and remember he's looking at the sun and he's like this and he's like,
oh, yeah,
like
the that. Meme?
Yeah, he's gathering all of his strength from the sun.
It's great, man.
Yeah,
that's... I like Nicolas Cage. I got no beef with that guy.
No, Nicolas Cage is the man. I love that guy.
He's self-aware. Nicolas Cage knows what he delivers to an audience and he doesn't make any apologies for it. Like, I want all my Hollywood stars to be like that.
Yeah, I just can't watch Face Off anymore.
How much have you watched Face Off that you can't watch it anymore?
I've seen Face Off like,
is it like 20 yearly, times. Really?
I've seen Face Off like 100 times. I bought the VHS, I bought the DVD, but now I'm just like...
Oh, you're like again. A Face Off guy.
Well, yeah, because I'm a huge John Woo fan.
Well, I know that, but I didn't know how deep you got into the Face Off.
Yeah, like I was just like back when I was a kid, I was watching like Face Off. I was watching Hard Boiled, The Killer. I was watching Better Tomorrow 1 and 2. I was watching all of John Woo's movies, and then I was watching... like Hard Target and stuff like that. But I was like, I was just watching Face Off and I'm like, this movie is not good.
Oh no, it's not. Okay. Look, it's not good if you go into it expecting like real acting.
But the thing is, it doesn't have like the,
okay.
The action scenes are great. So don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's, I don't know.
I'm going to make it simple for you. Face Off is to action movies of that era what Commando was to action movies of its era.
That's like
if you go into Commando expecting to watch like Terminator or Alien or something really like, you know, like gritty and hardcore with somewhat decent acting, you're not, because Commando is a parody of everything else around it. Whether people realize it or not, it is not a serious action movie by any means.
No. Like even like the last scene where like he's like where Matrix is just gunning down. He's basically taking over a whole country.
Right.
They said they needed a scene like that from Rambo 2.
Right.
Where it's just Stallone is just mowing down a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And that wasn't in the movie, so they had to like, you know, we have to one up this. We have to put that in the movie somewhere.
Yep. It's a satirical look at those like Rambo movies,
mm-hmm.
which is why Commando it holds up.
Yeah.
It's not John Wick. Like, John Wick is, like, borderline serious. It's a borderline drama.
Oh, yeah.
I
just bought John Wick 4 today.
That's a good call.
Oh, yeah. I have
but
to buy it.
Yeah, but it's not that. Like, John Wick 4 has got homages and is pretty serious. It's not a parody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun, cool action sequences jammed together in a drama.
Yeah, and it's also, like, it's people who love action, who have done action.
Right.
Don't want to go the Hollywood route. And they say, you know what? we're stuntmen. We want to make the movies that we like, that we grew up on.
For sure.
And like, we want to make movies the way we like them.
Exactly.
And there's no like Hollywood stuff attached to it. They're like, stuntmen directed it. Stuntmen are in it. Mm-hmm. And stuntmen are, you know, like they do all the stunts. Like it's a pure level action movie.
It's a love letter.
It's a love letter.
Yeah, yeah. It's a love letter to different movie styles and genres. It's a love letter to the stuntmen who work in movies.
Yep.
Like, that's why, like, when he does that fall down the stairs, that's a real stuntman falling down all those stairs. Yep. Like, if you're watching it and you're laughing at it and you think it's stupid or how ridiculous it is that he's done two massive falls all the way down the steps.
Yeah.
Think of the guy in the costume who's performing that.
Yeah.
Because they're showcasing all of that shit while you're watching that movie.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's why I don't hate Face Off. Because like in the boat sequence, when you see the boat flip and then you see what the characters, that guy who's supposed to be Travolta and the guy who's supposed to be Nicolas Cage, you can clearly see the stuntman's faces, yeah, body types and everything.
Yeah, I think they wanted to show off this
stuntman. Sure they did. Mm-hmm. These are two guys who could possibly die doing something for us to watch and enjoy,
yeah,
in like a fun escape, right? It's escapism at its finest. And you better see their faces and appreciate what they do.
Yeah, because even like if you watch like Hard Target, mm-hmm, you know that scene where like Van Damme like is like standing on the motorcycle?
On the motorcycle?
Yeah, on this, and he goes over. And the guy who goes over is the stuntman, obviously. But his hair, like Van Damme has like curly hair, right?
Right.
This guy has an afro. Yeah. And you could tell it's not him. So.
No, it's not just an afro. It's like an afro mullet wig.
Yeah, exactly.
On a guy. But like you see him and you appreciate this dude doing like good hard work.
One second.
Hello? Hey, what's up? Are you taking lunch tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Right back in.
Yeah.
Seamless edit.
Yeah,
that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I have no hate for Face Off, just because I've always looked at it as not a parody, but it's John Woo just pushing himself almost satirically of everything he's done before that movie.
Yeah, because apparently the boat sequence was supposed to be in Hard Target.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they said they couldn't do it, so they used the horse sequence instead. But now then he moved to a Face Off, and they had a higher budget, so he's like, okay, fine, let's put that in there instead.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
yeah, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed all that stuff. Again, why don't hate the Ang Lee Hulk? He was trying to deliver a concept. People go nuts shitting all over the Ang Lee Hulk.
I didn't mind it.
I loved it. It's still in continuity,
mm-hmm,
and it's a pure comic book come to life.
Yeah,
they do the panels when the helicopter moves around, when he's inside the bunker, and mm-hmm, what's his name, the other general, the one who hates him, the one who wants Betty,
Thunderbolt?
He's always grinding his teeth. No, the other one, his little protege there, the one that Josh Lucas, he plays him.
Oh,
Talbot.
Yeah,
when Talbot's gonna shoot
him, Talbot, yeah,
and Talbot ends up blowing himself up.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of that is just perfect. Bill Bixby Banner mixed into comic book just come to life. I appreciate the shit out of the movie.
Well, speaking of movies that don't make any sense, did you watch Fast X yet?
I have not. It's on Amazon for a rental, so I'm thinking that's gonna be what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna just do them all in one go.
Oh,
I'm just gonna do 9, whatever they are, 10 movies.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
no, don't do that.
I love them all.
Yeah, do I have no hate for them, but don't do this.
No, I'll do them both. I have absolutely no hate for them because again, they're self-aware.
Yeah, but by the time you finish them all, the podcast that we're going to do when you're all done them, you're going to be drooling for no reason.
I'm going to look like, what's his name, after the cinematic sequence, the murder sequence?
Yeah, you're going to be
Clockwork Orange, desensitizing.
Yeah, you're going to be like, you're going to be drooling.
Just put an orange peel my mouth to bite down on, blink my eyes open, or splay my eyes open. Let me watch all 10 movies.
Oh my God.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, you're going to lower your IQ points by at least 20.
Plus the Hobbs and Shaw. I'll get that in there as well.
Oh.
Watch The Rock and his Samoan family come in there and just like mess up the other family.
Yeah. Yeah. Rock is seriously.
Canceled Young Rock.
Yeah.
They canceled Young Rock, which is a bummer because that was actually a pretty good show. The problem was there was an oversaturation of The Rock for a few years there.
He for 10 years, he had Hollywood in the palm of his hands.
And
all of his,
hit by the short hairs.
Yeah. All the movies he was trying to make into trilogies,
mm-hmm,
never made it.
There's a good explanation for that. Not my explanation that I was reading about. It's The Rock didn't do what Batista did, and he didn't do what Schwarzenegger did, what Stallone. All these guys were these like muscle-bound action movie stars.
Yeah.
But if you look at in the earlier days, he tried. The Rock actually did, but it didn't work out. he didn't put himself around directors who would make him an actor.
Yeah.
He went around directors who were going to make him like an action movie megastar, but not an actor. Even Schwarzenegger found directors who would make him a better actor.
Yeah, like James Cameron, anybody.
For sure.
Yeah, he did it the right way.
Stallone did it the right way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He became an actor and an action movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Batista arguably is the best when it comes to doing that. Batista, he said it before. He's like, I'm not The Rock. I'm something different. The Rock is a wrestler who makes action movies. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
And he is. I mean, he does action movies, but if you look at the list of actual, like, hardcore films, like, not just action movies, he's in a bunch of really good films.
Yeah. Like, I was watching 2049 the other day, and Batista's like, he's, and even the short that he's in, like, Blackout and stuff, like all the shorts that he's in, or just one of them anyway. He's great in those.
Yeah, terrific. Like, he acts really well. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just go in there and say meathead dialogue. Drax, I mean, Drax is a silly, like, Hulk light, like Space Hulk, whatever he is. But when he turns on the charm, like, that dude, when he's delivering the deadpan, things don't go over my head, I'm too quick, I would catch it. Like, you believe that he's just a big, dumb animal.
Big, dumb animal,
yeah. In jail. But when he tells you about why he's so angry at Thanos, you kind of care for him.
Yep.
Like, he lost his family to this guy, so he needs to kill him. He needs to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can do that in a dumb movie. Like I said, 2049, he's great. Playing a silent, murderous, rampaging assassin in Bond.
Yep.
He's a force of nature. He's terrific in that.
Yeah.
Wow. Him and the kid and that My Spy.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific in that. I don't think I've seen a Batista movie where he's not good in a piece of shit or a good movie.
Yeah, I've never seen another movie besides, like in WWE, he was just a wrecking machine. Was he stronger than... Do you think he was bigger than Brock Lesnar?
He was billed to be, I think, at the time.
Oh, no, but like physically, do you think he was...
No. Brock Lesnar is a different thing altogether.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar is something else. I'll show you this video from not too long ago of Brock Lesnar in the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
When he's wrestling a guy about his size.
Mm-hmm.
And... effortlessly. I mean, like, with no effort, literally. He just kind of heaves the dude up onto his shoulder, walks around for a second while the guy's still wrestling him.
Mm-hmm.
While he's on Brock's shoulder. And Brock is wondering, where am I going to slam this guy? Then chooses to gently put him down and win the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, during an NCAA final. The dude is a different thing altogether. There's two guys in wrestling who, like, we all know it's sports entertainment. It's scripted entertainment. It's live-action stunt work. But for legitimate, real strength.
Legitimate,
real strength. Did I say legitimate?
You said legitimate.
Legitimate?
No, you said legitimate.
Oh, I'm probably talking too fast. I do that. I mean, I know it's legitimate.
Legitimate.
I should articulate better.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, legitimately a very strong human being.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn Jacobs, Kane. People talk about Kane in the ring. If I'm not wrong, it's either the Big Show, Brock, or the Undertaker, is talking about how Kane put them on his shoulder and walked around and then waited for an intro to happen on the stage. And the person on his shoulder was like, you don't feel more like a child.
Mm-hmm.
When a guy who's your size or, like, you know, about your size and you're a big dude can pick you up and just walk around like it's just like a light carpet on his shoulder and then waits for a reaction, gives a reaction to the pop while you're on his shoulder and then puts you down and goes on with all his gas tank still intact.
Oh, okay.
Like, there are certain people who are just freaks of nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, the speaking of wrestling, you see that video of Lex Friedman and Mark Zuckerberg doing wrestling together?
Jits. They're rolling a little bit the old jitsy there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it.
Yeah.
That's the big news this week, is will Zuckerberg fight Elon Musk in the UFC?
I don't think they will.
John Jones already said he's going to train Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
And GSP has said he is in Elon's corner.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana, old Uncle Dana, is ready to make it happen. He's like, it could be as big as UFC 1.
Yeah, he wants to make, he sees the dollar signs.
Yeah, man. Who wouldn't? I would love to see it happen. I think it'd be great.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, man. I'm as excited for this as I was when we found out or thought that Wesley Snipes was going to fight Joe Rogan.
That'd be a good fight.
It was going to happen
because
he needed money. Wesley needed a little bit of the cheddar. He's going to go to jail for tax evasion.
Well, he didn't need money. He always needs money.
He always needs money, but he actually needed it.
Yeah.
He was going to go to jail, dude. He owed the cheddar to the G-Man.
Yeah, I don't think that fight's going to happen. My hope is that those two have better things to do with their time. So,
and humanity.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, it sounds like a dumb idea.
It definitely sounds like a dumb idea.
Yeah, so I have no interest in seeing it.
I have no problem.
Who do I think would win? I think Zuckerberg would beat
Elon. Oh, no, I think Zuckerberg's got it hands down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think Elon Musk is...
He doesn't train.
He doesn't train.
He's
I don't think he's any kind of garbage.
He says, like, I eat donuts every morning for breakfast. He's like...
He said a weird body?
Yeah, he's like, he goes, I'd rather just eat unhealthy and die young.
Yeah,
he doesn't weird, give a, he doesn't give a shit.
Remember, like... Okay, do you remember his old Twitter profile picture? His Top Gun Maverick photo?
Yeah.
Where he looked like he was kind of, like, in shape and lean. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't really pay attention to it. Like, you didn't think about it. Like, he's a bigger dude. Mm-hmm. And he saw those beach photos probably 10 years later.
Yeah, and yeah, there was recently, and he's all like...
Yeah. It's like he's all distended, and his rib cage is all out, and it's weird. Like, his body looks weird. But Zuckerberg looks like he's in shape.
Yeah.
He rolls jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, like, there's been times where I've seen Elon Musk's arms, like, well, he's, like, in a t-shirt or something. His arms are ripped. But, like, sometimes I'm like, then all of a sudden I just see him with, like, a huge stomach. But I have no interest in seeing that. Like, I'd rather just see, if I want to see MMA, I want to see, like, guys who are good at it do it, so.
I like freak shows.
Yeah.
I've always loved a freak
show. But there's other freak shows you can watch on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, like, they don't have the same stakes.
Yeah.
Like, this is the kind of thing where it's, like there's real, like, street cred rep up for grabs. Yeah, like, nerd, billionaire, street cred rep.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, what does that lead to?
More freak shows.
Yeah, more freak shows. That's it.
We've entered idiocracy. I'm embracing it fully. I'm embracing that we are now in the fourth form of society.
A society where, like, it's just a free fall of, like, basic decency.
The fourth form of Godzilla is always the freak show.
Yeah.
And fifth form is always, like, total world annihilation.
Yeah.
So I'm all for the freak shows. I'll take them all.
I don't know. Yeah, so, but... Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Okay, what's a better freak show? Like, what for you, what would be a better freak show to see than two people who have more money than they need to have? I would actually make that like a triple threat match and throw Bezos in there too. Because I think Bezos would mop up the floor of those guys.
I think
he's
so
on
too.
So much juice.
I think Bezos should fight Zuckerberg.
I think Bezos should fight Zuckerberg and the winner should get Musk.
Yeah, give Musk more time to train.
Yeah, give him some time to train.
Yeah.
Man,
but I don't know. I think a better freak show. I want to see the Kardashians fight one of the Real Housewives.
Oh my god!
I want to see that. I want to see like
that'd be terrific.
Actually, I want to see like one of the Kardashians, like Khloe or whatever their names are. I want to like fight NeNe Leakes.
Oh man, she looks like she would probably like
she kill
throw
everybody
down hard. Yeah, she's does not like a pushover.
She was in the WWE.
Yeah, she doesn't look like a pushover at all.
Yeah, she just I want her to fight like three of the Kardashian sisters
at the same time.
At the same time,
they should have to. Oh man, she mopped the floor with them.
Yeah,
all right, but that's the one that's OJ's kid. She might just like kill everybody.
Yeah,
because like she seems like she's mean.
She's
big too.
Like I don't like watching guys fight. Is like there's so many guys fight like that, right?
Right.
Watching women who don't know how to fight that'd be more interesting.
You gotta have the Kardashians fight the like one of the Housewives gangs.
Yeah,
like the whole gang. Like NeNe Leakes leads. Like a gang of housewives.
Yeah, like, you know, like that Tardy for the Party, whatever her name is.
And then, what? They have nicknames?
Yeah. Like one girl who sings a song like that's called I'm Gonna Be Tardy for the Party.
I had no idea.
And then there's like, get her in the mix, throw her in the mix. Throw some like, some soap opera stars in there. Like, I want to see that. I want to see careers ended.
I always loved it when like Bonaducci would do those like boxing matches. Mm-hmm. And just like fuck dude up. Like Bonaducci would like beat up Justin Trudeau. He didn't do that. I can't remember who he fought. I think he fought Willis or somebody. Mm-hmm. Danny, so if you don't know, because you know we're older than you, if you're listening to this, we're the same age or younger.
Yeah, well, Danny Bucci, they fought a lot. Like Howard Stern used to throw those fights on those freak show fights.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go back to those.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But to me, that's no difference than now. Like Bezos fighting Musk or Zuckerberg fighting, it's the same thing to me.
It is, but there's more like, there's more things on the line where like people will be like, oh, it's going to go to Vegas. They're going to like, I just want a freak show. I can tune in, watch on YouTube for like 10 seconds and just enjoy it. Like watching two little people go at it or something like that.
Two little people beat each other
like up. Peter Dinklage fighting like, I don't know, fucking Beetlejuice or something like that. I don't know.
Peter Dinklage, well, Vern Troyer is dead, so he wouldn't fight. That would not be fair. Yeah, Peter Dinklage fighting Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mean. No, I don't
want to. Why not?
No, I can't
do that. They want equal rights.
They want equal rights. I'm not saying they can't because they're small, but something about them seems like they both seem kind of like really lovable. I'm not saying that's because they're little.
No, they would shake hands afterwards. It was
I don't want to see. I don't want to see. I think Dinklage would beat him up. And I don't want to see Warwick Davis get worked. Dinklage seems like he's. I mean, maybe it's a Game of Thrones thing, or Elf when he beat up Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
But Dinklage seems like I don't know. He just seems like he's he's willing to go places where you wouldn't go.
Okay, what about that? What about that black guy from that little black?
Oh, from Bad Santa?
Yeah, Bad Santa.
Yeah, I think Dinklage has him hands down.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because they're built. Dinklage seems like if he was 6 foot tall with the same frame, you would see him be like, that dude is gonna, like, he's gonna fuck a bunch of people up. Like, he's built like the Hulk, but shorter.
What's another freak show then?
Yeah, Dinklage isn't, like, he's just like, I don't know, he seems tough. Like, his name would be Mug. Like, he just seems like one of those guys, like Mug Costanza. Like, he seems like a tougher, like a real.
Yeah, he's like short and stocky.
Yeah, he seems like he'd really be able. I think Dinklage could, if I had to fight Peter Dinklage, I think I'd have to get dirty with it. Like, I'd have to eye poke him, or like clinch him up and knee him a bunch of times.
Well, yeah, you can eye poke him, you have to be like.
Like, well, still. Yeah, but he seems like he's a tough dude. Like, some people, you see their faces, and you're like, you're not just an actor.
I wouldn't doubt he is. Yeah, he probably is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure this, the majority of actors in Hollywood, even the ones that train really well, I could have a field day mopping up the floor with those guys. Like, I see sometimes an older actors try to act like tough guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, I boxed, and I did this, and I did that. I'm like, look, man. A 40... Who's the one who played the bat... he's always got the shaved head. Older actor. He's astronaut movies. Ed something.
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris. Ed Harris always tries to put this persona, he's a tough guy. I will fuck Ed Harris up. But I think Peter Dinklage would probably, like, give me a challenge. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's fake with him. With Ed Harris and his... Bruce Willis, I'm gonna clinch him up. I'm gonna drop some mega bomb knees into your lip. Not anymore. Because, you know, you got the dysphagia thing. But in his Die Hard days, I'm going to give Bruce Willis a beatdown. But Dinklage?
Okay, well,
he's got it with me.
Who's another fight that I want to see? I would like to see either one of those Paul brothers fight Andrew Tate.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson, I think, will mess you up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Woody
yeah.
seems Woody, like he's yeah. a dude who's like, he's down for whatever.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell will probably mess you up. He's got that Irish broken nose, but he boxes a kid.
Yeah.
He'll probably throw down pretty hard.
Who'd win that fight between one of those Paul brothers and Andrew Tate?
Oh, Andrew Tate would mess him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Tate, as much as I think Andrew Tate is mid, Andrew Tate is also well-trained.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just a guy who rolled up and won a bunch of fights back. And he did, for a while, was
like... I think if that's the case, he'll go all out.
Yeah, Andrew Tate would mop up the floor with the Paul brothers. Mm-hmm. He'd beat them both down. Pretty handily, I think.
Yeah.
Soundly.
Yeah.
Decisively.
What do you think of, I was going to ask you this. What do you think of, what's his face? Tucker Carlson going to Twitter?
I think it's funny. I think it's good. I think Tucker Carlson is both better and worse than everybody gives him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with him doing his Twitter show at all.
No.
You know what won me over? Was that dude who was taping him in like Central Park or whatever it was mm-hmm. while he's fishing.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what you doing? He's like, I'm videotaping. He's like, why? He's like, because I can. He's like, no, I'm not. I don't care if you can or not. I have mm-hmm. no problem with it. Just wondering what you're up to.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to give the dude a real, like, big brotherly lesson on fishing.
Yeah.
And he won that guy over.
Yeah.
I think that's a real Tucker.
Yeah, I think that is, too. Yeah, because, like, you can't judge everybody, like, when they're on TV and stuff right. like that. Because especially when we work for a large news network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if I met him and I was stuck in an elevator with him for, like, an hour or something like that, I'll be like, and talk to him. Then I'll be like, yeah, come on. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? That guy's actually a cool guy.
Forget the yeah. elevator. I think if you just sat down and had a meal with him.
Yeah.
And just talked to him like a normal human being
mm-hmm.
about what his views were and told him what your views were, I bet yeah. you guys would be more in the middle with each other. And I think there's a few guys who are like that. Some guys are out to lunch. Like, I think Hannity is a true believer. He's out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But Tucker, Glenn Beck, I think Glenn Beck was one of those dudes who, like I said, he marked out to his own gimmick.
Yeah.
But I think Glenn Beck was more of a centrist guy than people gave him credit for. He just marked out to his own gimmick.
Yeah, but I think because when you're a journalist starting out, right, you're like, I'll do, you stick to your own credentials. You're like, you know what, this is what I want to do for a living, blah, right. blah, right? But then when Fox News hires you to make like God knows how much money per year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell you, this is the news we're going to portray.
Right.
You're going to say yes no matter what, because like, yeah, that's, they're throwing this much money at you. Of course you're going to say whatever's on the teleprompter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even though it goes against your own values.
Right.
So then when you're freed of that and you're going to like a space where you can say literally whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
People are going to see another side of you. So
they're going to see a side of you that I think,
or the true side of you,
the true side of
well,
you,
hopefully anyway,
that you weren't either allowed to show or the side of you that you've been wanting to show.
Mm-hmm.
Because you knew that once you're released from the machine, you can go do your own
thing. Oh, you can tell. Like even like when he's on Fox News, like some of the dark pictures he would paint about, like, do you know that there's no gold behind our currency? Are you aware of that? Then when you see him on Twitter, and he's
not wrong.
Yeah, and he's like, he goes on Twitter and he talks about things that are just like, there's a difference. Like you can tell he's like, He's saying what's literally on his mind.
The UFO stuff, the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude is on board with a lot of stuff that's just, like, not just conspiracy theory for the sake of being conspiracy theory,
mm-hmm.
but he is trying to get to the meat and potatoes of the weird shit that goes on in government.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's too bad that he had to toe this right-wing line, and he got into these right-wing, like the rhetoric and the jargon, all the crap they make you say.
Yeah.
Like the Sinclair Media shit, where it's like, we believe in a fair and balanced blah, blah, blah. Like, he was doing all that kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, once he's free of that and goes to Twitter and gets to do whatever he wants, he's way more reasonable. You know who else? Cernovich, man. I know, mm-hmm. like, the left tried to paint Mike Cernovich as this dude who's like, hey, Pizzagate, and he's forcing people to do all this weird shit. Yeah, he trolled you a little bit, but Cernovich, like, anti-Trump, he's anti-far left, anti-far right.
Mm-hmm.
He shits on both sides fairly evenly.
Yep.
Like, if you watch the Cernovich Michael Malice podcast from, like, 6 months ago, maybe, like, a year ago, something like that.
I think it was a year ago.
The most recent one. The dude is very, very much down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a racist. He's just a little bit, I think, like, extravagant in his thought process sometimes, where he just blows out these crazy ideas, and people just, they just grab on to whatever is going to make them the most clicks to vilify him or to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up being this, like, poster boy for hate from one side and love from the other side.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, because it seems like a lot of the right kind of fucking hates him now, too.
Yeah, I think if you can get people to think and, like, maybe so they're like, you know what, like, oh, instead of, like, saying, you know what, I agree with that person, or if this forces you to think.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You're forcing me to think about something.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? Never thought about that way.
You know what? I never thought that vegetables could cure COVID.
Yep.
I didn't think that way. Who would have thought a healthy lifestyle would keep you from getting diseased and riddled with illnesses and ailments?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I remember, like, for the
when
past...
When did that become, like, controversial? Not to interrupt your point. Oh, no, you go ahead.
My favorite thing is I saw a picture of, like, this doesn't make any sense. You show a burger, like a dilapidated burger and some salad in a plastic container and the burger. And they say that this, and it says 99 cents, $4.50. Why is this happening?
Yeah. You know, I mean... You should be wondering, like, why are real vegetables and whole foods more expensive than a completely made, cooked, delivered meal?
Grown food, like raised cattle.
Right, raised cattle. Like, why is protein and meat cheaper than vegetables in a salad? It's because that stuff you're eating in the burger, as tasty as it might be, is complete trash.
Yeah, and that's how, like, the food industry has, like, developed it. It's like, right. where cheap meat and burgers have become cheap,
mm-hmm.
and things that are actually good for you have become relatively more expensive.
Right.
Than a burger should cost 99 cents. A salad should cost you 50 cents.
50 cents, even though you're getting more meat.
Yeah.
Like, in the protein count and all the stuff that you're getting there, you're getting so much more to fill your belly.
Yeah.
Than you are with a salad. But you're getting zero nutrition out of that
oh burger. No, yeah, that's just going to clog up your arteries.
Well, I mean, have you ever heard the idea that this is first brought from Good Omens, where pestilence, I think, or no, famine. So Neil Gaiman, Good Omens, when they were Terry Pratchett and Gaiman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They write about the new apocalypse, and the four horsemen are all coming at you in new ways now. So famine is fast food. And the idea is that we're giving you all this shit for you to put in your system, but it's got no nutrition to it. So you're starving by eating.
Yeah.
The more you eat, the more you starve, because it's not good for you. It's all crap. You get obese and it destroys you. So that's the new famine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember reading, like, not too long after that, I remember reading this thing about how when you eat a cheeseburger, the fake cheese, the plastic cheese they give you, mm-hmm. so you're chewing it, and during the mastication of the food in your mouth, the cheese is being mixed into all the protein. So when it goes in your stomach, mucus attacks it immediately, pockets it away, holds onto it, and you just shit it out. So you don't absorb any of the protein from a cheeseburger when you eat a cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. That plastic eats shit on it.
Yep.
So you eat, you're full temporarily, then you shit it all out and you're hungry again. You got the sodium hangover, which ain't great for you.
Yep.
So it's just like, yeah, you think you're eating all this food, but you're getting nothing of value.
That's true, yeah.
And you're paying nothing for it.
Yeah, it's...
Paying nothing for nothing.
Yeah, it's good to get back into
fighting shape,
and then when the rain finally stopped, got to go biking, and I just could not believe how good it is to drink just a ton of water.
Oh, dude, it's the best.
Oh, it's the best. It's so good. I remember, before, when it was raining, I couldn't go outside and couldn't go biking or go do anything. My stomach goes up to here. It was like this.
And I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say that during winter, something going on back.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the summertime, you lean out.
They're crazy.
And this is something I will say about you that always kind of amazes me, is in the summertime, you lean out very quickly. I mean,
it's weird.
It's all the water you drink.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wintertime, my head gets huge in the winter, man. I get really chunky. I do put on weight in the summer as well, though. I tend to lift a little bit more in the summer.
Well, no more of that winter. No more of that winter stuff.
No more of that winter.
Yeah, you'll not see that. I will be at the gym in the winter.
Ah, deal.
Yeah. Oh no! That was the Hulk Hogan. Watch it. Can't do it, man. The universe is gonna explode.
Destruction of the multiverse.
Yeah,
the multiverse will collapse.
Yeah, the two mega powers coming together.
The mega powers collide. What does he say when he cuts his promo? He doesn't say Hulk Hogan. It's like Hulk Hogan.
Oh yeah,
Ultimate Warrior. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I think he was talking about
the darkness in my mind's eye, Hulk Hogan. Coming for you. I know where the bullet is, Hulk Hogan. Shove that cocker, shove that plane into a nosedive.
The pilots, they have already made the sacrifice.
Oh my God, you remembered. People don't know how amazing the Ultimate Warriors promos were.
Yeah.
Fans of wrestling today, who were fans of wrestling in the 80s do, and we missed that era.
Yeah.
But people who don't know, you got to go to YouTube and check that shit out.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior was certifiably insane.
The guy changed his name to Warrior, so when he was in WCW, he could be called a Warrior.
Yeah,
as is Jim Hellman. What an amazing talent.
Yeah, just came out. Honky Tonk Man called anybody out. He came in there and he destroyed him.
He annihilated him.
Crazy.
The last good send off too. When you think of from the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So he got his Hall of Fame. He came out to the ring the following Monday night. A fan, and he's wearing a long coat, and a fan handed him a paper Ultimate Warrior mask. And he put the Ultimate Warrior mask, gave a goodbye speech, people didn't know, on Monday Night Raw, and then passed away that night.
Yeah.
Or that night or the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had a cardiac event in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And it's mythical. It's how you would expect the Ultimate Warrior to go out.
He's with the gods above now, man.
He's with the gods above.
Yeah.
Holding, he's probably what's his name? Atlas. Yeah. Holding up the wrestling industry.
Yeah.
A god on his shoulders.
Yeah, in one ring in the sky.
One ring in the sky. He's the turtle. He's the turtle, and the ring is the flat earth on his back.
Yeah.
And there's two elephants on his back holding the ring up.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan is just leg dropping, trying to smash the whole thing down because he hates Hills Warriors so much. There's a promo of Bobby Heenan. I think it's when somebody gives up the King of the Ring. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Harley Race gives up King of the Ring. He relinquishes the throne. I think it is. He abdicates. And when you listen to the way Bobby Heenan shits on Hulk Hogan, and Harley Race is kind of like the still fan favorite back then,
mm-hmm.
knowing what we know now, if we'd known then, it would be a face talking about a heel. Bobby Heenan would be the face shitting all over heel Hulk Hogan. But back then, you were kids, you thought Hulk Hogan was immortal. He was the...
And Bobby Heenan was a total...
He was the heel.
He was the heel.
So he was the bad guy. But watching it now, I'm like, no, I mean, Bobby Heenan's right. Like, you're watching it now where Bobby Heenan was the good guy.
Yep.
God, I love 80s wrestling. 80s wrestling was terrific.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Huge fan. I am too. I love, sometimes I'll just go back and I'll watch Royal Rumble, 1990 or something like that. And it's just, it's good to when you go back and be like, man, this is when wrestling, for me anyway, this is when wrestling was at its peak.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Legendary. The Royal Rumble, when Ric Flair first showed up and did the whole Iron Man Royal Rumble.
And he went in there and he
finished. Number one.
Yeah. And he finished it. And he was
with a tear in my eye. Oh my God. His promos were so good.
And then when he collapsed.
The flop. The Flair flop.
Yeah.
The dude was arguably, I think maybe the blueprint for a performer. You can do whatever you want, but you will always go back to that blueprint. There's a skeleton. When you want to build a car, there's a frame. There's always the one thing that is the structure of what you want that thing to be. And Ric Flair is the structure. You can go as wild or as toned down as you want, but you always come back to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think he knew how to get the best out of all the other his wrestlers around him.
Always incredible.
Yeah. So yeah, he was even that scene with the Shockmaster.
Oh, yeah, when he's in that little room with them all?
Yeah, he knew how to just take a step back and be like, you guys, I'm sitting there with, like, six idiots.
He let everybody else, like, Sid, right? Sid's the one who has, like, the bonkers reaction?
Yeah, Sid went bonkers. Davey Boy Smith went bonkers.
Right. They do that thing where they kind of grab and pull their hair. And, yeah. Like, Chris Farley, overreaction?
Yeah.
They did all of that. And Flair's kind of...
Yeah, he's in the background laughing, and he's like, what a bunch of idiots.
What a bunch of idiots.
Actually, you know what? I was watching this, I was reading this article on Christian Bale. And do you know what his favorite movie is?
Christian Bale? His personal favorite or my favorite of his movies?
No, his favorite movie.
His favorite movie. Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe The Wrestler?
Nope.
I thought since we were on the theme, thematically, we were in the zone.
Well, you mentioned someone's name, so I thought I would just mention it.
Just now I did? I said Psycho Sid. Nope. Official. Sid and Nancy? Is that his favorite movie?
Nope.
Hit me.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. He said, he goes, well, if I had to watch one movie, he's like, Beverly Hills Ninja is my favorite movie.
Look, it's a fun movie, man.
Yeah, he's like, Chris Farley's in there. He goes, Chris Rock in there. He's like, it's such a great movie.
It's not even the best of the Farley. Like, it's the worst Farley movie.
For you?
It is the worst Farley movie.
You mean like critically speaking, or
I think performance wise, everything wise.
Oh, I don't think it's the worst.
No. That's I'm not saying it's a bad movie. Mm-hmm. I'm saying when you look at all the Farley movies, in from like performance wise, what he does from Dirty Work to Tommy Boy, Billy Madison, all the times that Farley was on film, I put it at the very end for me.
Really?
But it's still, even being the worst Farley movie, mm-hmm. is still like better than being. I don't know what's funny today. It's funnier than everything else right now.
I can see where you're coming from.
It's still Tropic Thunder level.
Yeah, I would say like for me it's Tommy Boy and then like look at his own movies like where he's the lead. Mm-hmm. I think that for me that's his number two.
Number really?
Yeah, Tommy Boy is still my number one. Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Boy is number one.
Yeah.
Black Sheep, I think for me is like those are always number one and two.
Yeah, Black Sheep for me is number three.
The Saigon Whore from Dirty Work, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
His whole, like, every time he talks in Billy Madison, it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything he does for me is great. I'm not even saying it's a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's the worst of the Farley movies.
Oh, okay.
And also knowing, like, the headspace he was in mm-hmm. while making it kind of bums me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's still funnier than almost every other comedy release since, like, 1999.
Well, you would think that after, like, when he's going through the training with the sensei and stuff, they would teach him, like, how to lead a cleaner life.
Right. Yeah, but no.
No.
He was born a fat kid. He trained a fat kid. Died. He remained a fat kid.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, well, he didn't die in Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah, but he was like just he's pure. Just live life to the fullest.
Extreme.
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 Yeah.
Chris Farley is. I always think like to me, it's not even the Belushi thing because Belushi did a few things and he passed away and kind of went crazy to whatever.
But Belushi was more of that. He was more of like a. I think Belushi was more of a victim of that time, in the 80s and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, I think he was around that like rock star comedian era.
80s cocaine everywhere, drugs right? were rampant. And Farley was just like he was a man on an island.
He was, and he wanted to live like his idol. Right? Yeah. He wanted to live like Belushi. But for me, the loss of Farley was similar to the loss of John Candy.
Yeah,
like John Candy had so many great movies he was in or part of or like led.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of Farley like that.
Yeah, because like Belushi, like, I think I was too young to appreciate what he was doing. Whereas like John Candy was like, I felt like he was a Canadian. And he's like, I'm like, oh my, like, I love him. He's great. And Farley was like same. I felt the same way about Chris Farley.
Well, Chris Farley was like for us in formative years of like understanding physical comedy and watching comedies and learning and growing from movies in that age.
Yeah.
We were in real formative years of movie watching.
Oh yeah. I loved physical comedy, whether it's John Ritter, whether it's, it was Kramer. I loved people who were just like physically hilarious.
Right.
So yeah, it was just, we lost a good one.
Lost a good one there, man.
Yep.
That's what I think like the John Candy thing, right? John Candy's in so many great movies when he died younger than us.
Yeah.
John Candy died when he died was younger than what we are now.
Yeah.
And that crushes me. Like when mm-hmm. you think of how much more he had to give.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just SCTV alone. God damn, John Candy is great.
Yeah.
Even when he wasn't even the main part of a movie, like when you watch Vacation or the Kevin McAllister movie there.
Yeah.
What is it called? Home something? Home by himself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Home.
When he plays the polka guy from Home by Himself.
Yeah.
He's John Candy's great in that too.
Yeah. He goes, oh, where are you part from? Chicago? No, Shibuya.
Shibuya.
Big, huge in Shibuya.
Huge. God, he's so good in everything he is. And you want, like, you, he's the dude who, when you see him in a movie, like, thing is going to be all right. When you saw John Candy in a movie, in a cameo, or whatever he was doing, as a movie watcher, you're like, everything's going to work out. He's there to save the day. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he never plays a rock star in a movie. He's always a pathetic guy you have to sympathize for with.
Well, not just that, but I always feel like he's the, like, he's almost like a fail-safe.
Yeah.
Like, John Candy's characters in movies have always been, like, a fail-safe character, even though he just annihilates Steve Martin's life in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, God.
And they need the money. He sells those curtain hooks as earrings, and he gets them that
Diane Sawyer's earrings. You ever watch 60 Minutes?
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Do you guys ever watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
we always do it. Yeah,
you have to.
Yeah.
Dude, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles at Thanksgiving is like, just like vacation.
It's like vacation.
Christmas vacation, or
Home Alone, yeah.
Scrooged.
Mm-hmm.
I got all Scrooged. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a big Christmas guy. I don't decorate the house. I don't put lights up. But there are certain things at Christmas time I got to do. I got to watch the Scrooge, mm-hmm. got a Christmas Carol, and the black and white, not the colorized version. Mm-hmm. I watch that on Christmas Eve every year. If I don't, it doesn't feel right. And then, like, vacation, you got Christmas vacation, got to watch that every year.
And then, got to watch Home Alone. And then Halloween, got to watch The Exorcist, Halloween. Lost Boys, Halloween. And then, Thanksgiving, have to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's one.
Yeah. And then, And then on my birthday, I have to watch, I have to watch Aliens.
Oh, that's your birthday movie?
Yeah.
I thought Ferris Bueller would be your birthday movie.
It is. I have to watch it. That's another one, too.
That's one? I kind of figured Ferris Bueller would be there. That is, like, your thing. Like, you like Ferris Bueller. Yeah. I like Burbs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's your Burbs.
Yeah. Burbs belongs to you now.
Burbs belongs to me, man. Mm-hmm. I defend that movie harder than I defend almost any other comedy out there. That is... Love the Burbs.
Yeah. I think...
Who keeps a horse in the house?
Yeah. I think with Burbs... one movie I have to maintain a distance from it now because I've watched it so many times.
Huh.
Is Highlander.
Oh, dude. No, don't do that.
No,
don't do that at all.
No, because that movie, okay, I've memorized it. I've seen it literally 100 times.
Ramirez.
And I was like, I was going to buy the 4K version of it. I'm like, when am I going to watch this again?
Oh, dude, do it. Look, don't deny yourself the joy of the movie you like.
Can't.
I watched, let me tell you something. In I think it was like 2001, I watched Fight Club and Conan the Barbarian, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Conan the Barbarian. I mean, I would say almost every day.
They're all sluts.
They're all sluts. All of them. Punches the fucking camel. Yeah. The thud that he makes when he punches the camel is great. But no, I mean, those are movies that even though I wore them completely out, I still watch them.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I will not deny myself that fun anymore. I've done a lot of stuff this week where I cut out all the news sources on Reddit or Twitter or Instagram that were like negative,
mm-hmm.
not toxic. I hate using that term, the toxicity,
mm-hmm.
but clickbaity news sources that are only there to make you click into something else. It's going to engage you into being pissed off about something else.
Yeah.
Just cut them all out, man. I'll tell you, like, I mean, when I was doing it was probably around the time that, that submarine went down,
mm-hmm.
the Ocean Gate thing. When people started shitting on those people as if they were just like, oh, look at the dead billionaires. Ha, ha, ha. Let's laugh at the dead fucking billionaires. Oh, yeah. Let's laugh at the people who are trying to push innovation and push exploration. Just because they happen to be rich, you sadistic fucks who are out there, you know, tweeting about all the crap you tweet about on your slave-built devices.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to crap on billionaires who are trying to do some innovative shit because they use a controller to control a sub. A 19-year-old kid died, man. Like, it was just, like, garbage. So, that was it. That was the last straw for me. Cut all that shit out. Because if that's what Twitter and Reddit and all these assholes are going to do, then I just don't need it.
I'll say this,
though. I'm happier for it.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. The company that built that machine,
mm-hmm.
They should have had more thorough checks on that, obviously.
For sure.
But, like, they should have, like, said, I would have, like, okay, this is just me, okay, personally speaking, okay? Okay, if I'm designing that thing,
right.
And I'm like, I want to build a submersible that can go deep down 12,000 feet to go see the wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the first person? I had the money to do all that stuff, who is the first person now you would talk to?
Well, you would talk to James Cameron.
Exactly.
That would be your guy.
Yeah.
But here's my question about the whole thing: how many successful voyages did they have?
To
the Titanic, or deep sea, and any exploration ship they did
with people in it.
With people in it.
I don't know, to be honest.
Multiple. But how many failures they had? They had the one that we know about.
Yeah.
And the one that we knew about was really bad. And the one that we knew about had a kid in it and it had people in there. But what, and you know, okay, look, maybe they should have done a lot more research. They should have done a lot more security checks, a lot more safety checks, all the stuff they should have done. Maybe a better OS running the whole thing, all of that. Cool. Whatever it is. People fucking died doing something that at the end of the day does do a lot to push exploration in either space or deep sea. These people weren't in there just like joyriding. They wanted to go and explore some stuff because they had the means to do it. And then they died doing it. Like, people lost their lives doing it. Yep. So there's shit on them in this, like, hey, look, dead billionaires. I don't give a shit. I'd rather talk about the migrants who died. I'd rather talk about all this other stuff that I tweet about on my slave-built phone because I don't give a shit about the lives that I affect buying the technology that I use every single day. It's a hypocrisy, man. It pisses me off.
I would say this. I think the only thing that irritated me about this whole thing is that the week before, so last week when people were like saying, well, they were saying they heard some noises and then they went on for a whole week and they were saying to people like, you know, they have 96 hours of oxygen left. They have this much out, but that stuff, right? But then it turns out that noise they heard was the implosion.
They're already gone.
And so the sad part is that whole 96 hours, that whole week, they were giving basically the families false hope that they were still alive, which is very sad.
And they really, that was one of the thoughts that they had, right? Yeah, for the search, you know, the search and rescue really believed that the implosion already happened. I think they had been seeing debris and then they came clean and said, look, we saw a lot of debris, but we didn't want to come out here and say for sure what it was.
Yeah. Like you provide the resources to go out there and do a search and rescue.
Right.
But, it's because if they didn't do that, they'd be like, well, then families would be like, what are you doing to help save our families?
Right.
So it was sad that some of them knew about it, but couldn't say that, yeah, that's the implosion, but, or not say, okay, we don't know, because this is what we think it is, but we don't know for sure. So we're going to provide the resources to do the deep search rescue anyway.
Right.
So yeah, the whole situation was totally screwed up.
Yeah, the whole thing was bad, man. Yeah. The whole thing was bad. It was bad. The whole thing was bad. There was so much more they should have done before the flight happened or before the voyage happened. Like you said, they should have had more communication with real legitimate experts in their field. Not that they weren't experts or OceanGate isn't experts, but there's more they could have done to make sure that they were on top of their game.
Yeah, like like there should have been a better... Like, for me speaking anyway, I think there should have been better QAQC on the vehicle. Absolutely. On the submersible.
Being a safety guy.
Yeah.
That's probably something you were thinking of immediately.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, "What? Like, where was the QAQC on this? Who did it?
Yeah.
And which certifying company did the... I would not just take them at their word. I'm like, who certified this?
Right.
I'm like, then I would like say like, I would just say, I would literally say if I had that much money, if I was a billionaire, I'm like, has James Cameron taken a look at this thing?
Yeah. Or does he have people? Did you reach out to his people? You reach out to people who his people reach out
to? It's not a very big community.
Oh, then for all we know, they might have. We don't know. We're kind of speculating. From my end, what bothered me...
I'm just saying what that's what I would say.
That's what you would say. Mm-hmm. Right. No, and that's valid. Mm-hmm. And you are a legitimate health and safety guy. You're not just a guy who enjoys the... Like, that's your occupation.
Yeah, that's the first thing I would say. I'm like, where's the QNQC on this?
Right.
How many successful ones have you had, and what is this made out of? What are the structures? Then what's the capacity of it to make sure that the structure doesn't collapse on itself? Mm-hmm. How much pressure can it take? How many test dives have you done? All these things, and then what's the material made out of?
Right.
You ask these questions. Mm-hmm. How many successful dives have you had? How many successful dives have you had with people with no injuries?
Right.
Are all the systems working when you do these deep dives? Or like, is communications working? All these things. You have to answer all these questions before I would even let someone even go in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
And you are 100% correct.
Yeah.
My beef with all of it is my beef with those. With the online community.
Yeah, exactly.
My beef with the
online
community.
It's always them. Oh, it's always them.
And that was the last straw for me, is reveling in the deaths of people who weren't hurting anybody, like, realistically. Like, you're not going out there and trying to, like, you're not deep sea diving and destroying an ecosystem for your own pleasure.
No.
You're deep sea diving because you have a love of exploration and you have the means to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, people who earn enough or have put themselves in a position through their own hard work to do something else they love is now it's a reason for us to shit on them and laugh about them dying, make jokes on Reddit about them dying, Twitter monologues and rants and threads about how great it is that these assholes went underwater and got crushed by a submarine.
Yeah, they didn't do anything wrong.
No, you know, I mean, it's just, it's kind of gross, man. It grosses me out. Like, and there's so much more worse to the world that we just, like, just take part in. Mm-hmm. That we don't care about.
Yeah.
But, you know, we shit on things because it's, for some reason, a dead billionaire is hilarious. Or, like, you know, like I said, like, they're rich, so they're part of the machine, and therefore we can crap on them when they die. Well, you contribute that machine, man.
Yeah.
Everybody who's out there crapping on them contributes to the wealth of multiple billionaires all over the place. Do you watch any sports? Do you use any devices? Do you have lights in your house? Are you completely off the grid? Are you using solar batteries? Well, you're always contributing, man. It's a hypocrisy. I hate it.
Yeah.
So I'm out. I'm completely. Yeah. You people have broken me. I'm gone.
I think there's a very interesting interview with like this has happened yesterday, I think, with Anderson Cooper, and he was interviewing James Cameron. I recommend watching that interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's
yeah. He's at like so he. Anderson Cooper was asking him because Anderson Cooper was in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking James Cameron, and James Cameron breaks down exactly how submersible should right. like the testing that has to be done, how we did his, and even Anderson Cooper's sitting there, and he's like, he goes, this guy knows everything.
Yeah, I mean, this has been his life since Titanic.
Yeah, and he didn't bother interrupting him. Like he just went, James Cameron just rambling on but everything he said made sense, and then he's like, yeah, you have to. There's so many things you have to do before you even like attempt to even make one dive.
Yep.
And so and like looking at like then he showed like pictures of him, he's like, I went 3 times deeper than these guys did.
Yeah.
By myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes years of testing.
It's not like James Cameron rolled up one day, woke up in the morning, he's like, I've got an idea for a movie about Titanic.
No, he spent
it's a lifetime obsession for him.
Lifetime obsession, yeah.
Watch The Abyss.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that he goes, underwater is like going to a different planet.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Look, I can't remember who said it, and I don't remember if I said it and I heard it somewhere else. I'm like, oh, they think the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that we're, and this is like not off topic, but just it just triggered a thought in my head, that we're currently underwater. We're in an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are currently in an ocean.
Yeah.
We're floating around in an ocean the same way fish and wildlife float around underground.
Yeah.
So like if you came from outer space into our atmosphere and you're looking at us, we're basically in a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
What we're, this air that we're breathing and walking around in, just like a form of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's moisture in the air. It's just a different type. And then there's this like extra layer that we think mm-hmm. is the ocean. And that's terrifying to us. And we think we can go down there and look around.
Yeah, man. Very sad.
It's very sad. The whole thing is really sad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just bothers.
That's good.
Whole thing just okay. Irritates me.
We're not going to summer springtime soon.
Oh, we're not. Yeah. I don't mind. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Might make enough cash to become a billionaire. With the ad revenue from this podcast. Mm-hmm. And then we'll end up in a submersible and start like flipping the bird, throwing fingers to all the Twitter fanatics. I'm going to name it the SSFU Twitter. FU tweeters.
Yeah.
Because I don't, not FU Twitter. Twitter's hilarious. The people on Twitter are garbage. Nobody online who comments or creates any kind of noise on Twitter is worth a damn.
Well, the noisiest people are the most useless people.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. The noisiest people who make the ones who think they're hilarious are the worst.
Yeah.
They're the most useless.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hard way to end the podcast.
Well, I'm glad you did another rant.
I'm not glad I did another rant.
Well, that's the way it has to be done.
I'm not glad that I had to.
Seems like the podcast is not done until you do a rant.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
Yeah, you are.
Just, there's well, I mean, there's something happens.
And something happens, but the thing is, like, there's so many things that are wrong with the world. So when you identify one of them, you just go on a rant, and I'm just like,
it's true.
Yeah.
It happens. A lot of talk this week about Batman Returns.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go anywhere else with it. I'm just, I just want to go somewhere happier. I want to do a call back to the beginning of the podcast.
Go ahead.
Hey, no, that's it. That's all I got. I just got Batman Returns. I'm kind of bummed out we didn't get our third Batman, Tim Burton Batman movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about that. There was a whole comment. There was a thing that happened on some videos I was watching where Chris O'Donnell was talking about how, you know, the second one got really dark and it wasn't great for the fans. It wasn't this, it wasn't that. I'm like, yeah, that's a bitch ass statement that you're making because they gave you a press release that you had to recite, like a Sinclair Media Group shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're trying to make it seem like, no, the direction we're going in is better. Your two movies are horseshit.
Yeah.
But you're going to tell me how Batman Returns was.
Oh, Chris O'Donnell's like, that guy's, what's he doing now? Is he still doing that show with LL Cool J? What are you doing? Like,
I think so.
CSI, like CSI, fucking
CSI, SI, and CIS?
Yeah.
It's like, nighttime crime scene.
That no one watches.
Naval Investigation Services.
Yeah.
Well, no, old people love that shit.
They do. Yeah, exactly. But
formulaic
stuff. Yeah. I'd rather just listen to '90s LL Cool J rather than watch his movies. Except for Halloween H2O.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. H2O was like the have they taken it out now? It doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think so.
I think like with the new Halloween Jamie Lee Curtis reboot, H2O no longer exists, right?
But H2O still like is not. It's there, but it's not. I don't think it's
not canon.
I think it is canon.
Is it?
No, it's not canon because he doesn't have a says in the new Halloweens, she doesn't have a son.
You're right.
Yeah,
like in the new ones, the most recent reboot with Jamie Lee Curtis,
yeah,
where she's like hardcore Sarah Connor,
yeah,
that one is a direct continuity. It is in direct continuity
with Halloween with 2.
Last with Halloween 2.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
because Halloween got weird there for a little bit, like the psychic kid and the whole connection to Michael Myers. And
yeah, Season of the Witch and all that stuff. But Halloween H2O was a soft reboot,
mm-hmm.
and then the last three, I should say, were like hard reboot, and that was the ending of it.
It's like when Superman Returns tried to do that direct continuity to Superman 2, but yeah. Superman Returns was such hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
People just kind of dump it.
Yeah, it's true. So
it's tough, man. Yep. It's tough to do a proper reboot there at Backside Attack.
Advic Save.
That's all I got.
That's all I got too, man.
That music's been running for the last 6.5 minutes.
And then peace out.
Oh.